Amen. Let's remain standing for today's scripture, which is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. This is the word of God. Please be seated. All right, today we want to welcome our dear deacon who is going to share us a message. Please give her a round of applause. Amen.
based on how much credibility the person who made the statement has. Donald Trump versus our minister, Gan Kim Yong. Enough said. In other words, this is about the credibility of the messenger. Okay? So firstly, the message, the content. Secondly, personal relevance, the meaning to me, what it means to me. And thirdly, the messenger, who said it. Okay? So in the pastoral epistles, what are pastoral epistles? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, written by Paul. In the pastoral epistles, Paul uses this particular phrase 5 times. Here is a trustworthy saying. And in 2 of these 5 instances, he added that saying with deserves full acceptance. In each instance, he highlights a foundational truth about the truth, about salvation, that the church must hold on to without hesitation and without doubt. Full acceptance. It deserves full acceptance. These sayings here are not optional opinions. They are not theological footnotes. They are core gospel truths meant to be embraced fully by every believer. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, our verse for today, the statement is simple, and we've heard it a lot. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the heartbeat of the Christian faith. And Paul expands upon it. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, showing mercy through his patience so that we can believe in him and receive eternal life. What is Paul doing here? What is Paul talking about here? He's actually really summarizing the gospel here. This message here, this is literally talking about the gospel. Hence, when he says that this message is trustworthy, he literally means the gospel is credible and we should accept it fully. But why then is this message so trustworthy? Why does it deserve our full acceptance? We'll look at the credibility of the gospel today in 3 parts. Firstly, the credibility of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the credibility through his patience in us and what it means to us. And thirdly, our response as Christians, as the messenger of the gospel. Let's go into point one. What is so credible about the gospel? What is the gospel about? The main content of the gospel is about Christ Jesus. And hence, the credibility of the gospel hinges on the credibility of Jesus Christ. The gospel is credible because Jesus is credible in his words, his identity, and the things that he did, his actions. Let us now consider what makes this gospel message so trustworthy. And we begin with the one who first declared it. We go into the words of Jesus. This trustworthy saying in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This did not originate from Paul. The apostle Paul wasn't the first person who said this. He didn't make it up himself out of nothing. It originated from the mouth of Jesus himself, first declared during his earthly ministry. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the loss." Jesus said this in the context of reaching out to who? Zacchaeus. A tax collector and hence a social outcast in the culture then, in the period then, despised by his community because of what he has done. Yet Jesus sought him out, entered into his home, and declared salvation over a man like Zacchaeus. This is the heart of gospel. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, we know that Jesus came not for the righteous, but for the broken, the sick, and the sinners. Jesus Christ did not just come to teach or to lead. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is not just a passing statement. This is a mission statement. In Luke 19, Jesus clearly articulates his own purpose. "I am here to save those who are spiritually lost." Paul, in writing this epistle to Timothy, affirms this truth. This makes this statement, this saying, credible. Not because we've heard it a lot, not because it's popular or convenient, not because it came from Paul the apostle, but because it came from the mouth of Jesus himself. But who exactly is Jesus? The credibility of Jesus is also dependent on his identity. He can say things out, and we know that he truly said it, and it was credible coming from Jesus. But who is this person who said it? Is this Jesus a credible source? The credibility of Jesus is also dependent on his identity. He's not merely a prophet, not merely a moral teacher, not merely a counselor. He is the Son of God, sent from heaven to fulfill a divine plan to save you and me. In John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." This verse affirms Jesus' divinity and his obedience to the Father's will. Jesus is not acting independently. He was sent by the Father. He is fulfilling a heavenly mission, one that was already set in motion even before the foundation of the world. Even before his birth, his identity was already tied to his mission to save. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel tells Joseph that you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." This is a bold declaration, brothers and sisters. It is a claim to his divine identity. Jesus does not simply point us to the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth himself. Jesus did not just speak about salvation, he also demonstrated it through his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. His actions validated his words and confirmed for us his identity. There were more than 30 miracles listed in the four gospel books, but beyond miracles, Jesus also did other things like teaching, like calling disciples, like fulfilling prophecies. From the gospels, we can see Jesus forgiving sins, healing the sick, calming storms, raising the dead, fulfilling prophecies, and living a sinless life. In John chapter 10, verse 37 to 38, "Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Even if you do not believe in Jesus, his works are credible. And from his works, we can see that he indeed is credible. His miracles are not just acts of compassion. They were evidence of his divine authority. They validated his claim to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But of all his works, the ultimate act that confirms the credibility of the gospel is his death and subsequent resurrection. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." His resurrection is a divine confirmation and approval of all his earthly ministries, all his earthly works, and everything Jesus said and did. Without the resurrection of Christ, the gospel would be just like any other message, any other religion, and any other philosophy. But because Jesus rose from the dead, he is one that conquers death, and his message is a living one, a powerful one, and always credible. We go back to our statement in 1 Timothy. This statement is about the gospel. This statement was made by Paul, and it is credible because Jesus was the one who first declared it. And Jesus is a credible source because of his identity as the Son of God, as the Savior who was sent to save sinners, and also because his actions validated his identity. His words, identity, and actions all affirm that the gospel is not just good teaching, it is true teaching and worthy of our full acceptance. Now that we have seen why the gospel message is credible, we must ask, what does this credible gospel mean for you and for me? What is the personal relevance? What is the actual meaning for us personally? The gospel cannot just be a theological truth for scholars and pastors to study about and preach about. The gospel shouldn't just be for us laymen to admire for a distance and, oh, occasionally, wow, good, 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 good message, good truth. The gospel must be a living truth that speaks into our personal struggles, that applies in our circumstances, in our everyday lives. There's no clearer example of this than Paul himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul proclaims the gospel and insists that it is trustworthy. In the very next verse, in verse 16, Paul moves from proclaiming the gospel to personalizing it, showing how the immense patience of Christ was displayed in his own life. This brings us to our second point. The gospel is credible, not only because of who Jesus is, but also because how Jesus patiently transforms our lives, even the worst of sinners. Brothers and sisters, some of you may believe already in the credibility of Christ, and by extension, seemingly, you believe already in the credibility of the gospel. But believing that the gospel is true doesn't mean anything. And is in fact of no use unless you believe that it is real and applicable to you personally. If you accept the gospel, it means that you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. It's like saying the earth is round. You may believe that it is a trustworthy, you may believe that this statement is trustworthy and credible today because there's loads of scientific evidence today to prove it. But can I ask you, brothers and sisters, the earth is round. Does it affect you personally? Does it mean much to you personally? There is no relevance to you. The gospel cannot be such facts to us. The credibility of the gospel is not just about believing that it is true. The credibility of the gospel is anchored not in the perfection of the gospel, but in the patience of Christ. It must mean something to us personally. We look at Paul, the example of Paul. Paul says that even he, as the worst of sinners, was given immense patience to be pursued and to be shown mercy, such that even he can repent and receive the gospel. Paul was not just any sinner. He was the worst of sinners. He said it himself. He was an enemy of Christians. He persecuted Christians, and he was very good at doing that. He was very known for persecuting Christians. Yet Jesus did not cancel Paul. Instead, Jesus pursued and called him. Paul's transformation was not an instant thing. It was not instant perfection. It was a journey marked by mercy and in the form of miraculous or perhaps incredible things happening to him on the road to Damascus. His life became a testimony that Jesus does not just tolerate sinners. Jesus loves sinners and patiently waits for them and transforms them. Paul's example is proof that our gospel is credible because it is relevant to each of us personally. It applies in every scenario, even the worst case scenario. You do not need to clean up your life in order to be loved by Jesus. His love is not reserved for the perfect. His love is meant for the likes of Paul, who was rooted in his agenda against Christ. His love is meant for the likes of Zacchaeus, broken and sinful. His love is also poured out for you who are empty today, and for me, who is also very limited. We do not need to wait until we finally finish our one-year BRP. We do not need to wait until we make it for every RPG session or when we feel spiritually ready to be qualified for the gospel, for receiving and for preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ is patient, and his patience means that your doubts do not disqualify you. Jesus waits through all your questions. Your failures do not deter him. Jesus is not surprised at your mess and your healing, though they may not always be instant, but Jesus walks with you, not ahead of you. He walks with you and not in front of you to leave you behind. He will wait patiently for you. Brothers and sisters, this is a credible gospel because it meets us where we are in life. It enters into our lives and not where we pretend to be and not looks at us from a distance. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This invitation from Jesus is not to the strong and healthy, but to the weary, to the sick, to the burdened. The gospel is credible because it is compassionate, it is patient, and it is personal. It means something to you. Brothers and sisters, shall we spend some time to look around us in our lives? Our family members, our closest friends, our classmates and colleagues at work. Is there anyone you can remember now whom once upon a time you used to pray fervently for his or her salvation, but today you no longer bother, you have given up, or you no longer remember? Maybe you have given up on someone. Maybe you think, "Oh, such a broken life. They will never receive the gospel. They will never receive salvation." Maybe it even seems like they have given up on themselves. They have given up on themselves in their own lives. But Jesus has not given up. Our Christ is still patiently waiting. Immense patience is the word. We look again at Paul's example. It reminds us that no one is beyond the reach of the gospel. The patience of Christ extends to the prodigals, the sinners, the broken, and the enemies of the gospel. In 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy at a time when Timothy was struggling with many false teachers of the gospel, opponents of the gospel. But Paul says, if even the worst of enemies, even the worst of sinners, even he himself, who used to be a persecutor of the church, can be saved, then surely these false teachers can too. Timothy, have patience. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into Paul's life, came into my life, came into your life to save you. Today, just like how Paul encouraged Timothy, I would like to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to not give up on anybody's salvation as well. It can be very discouraging to keep praying and praying and praying over the same thing, to keep praying over the salvation of friends and family members who have already told you they didn't want it, they don't need it, and they don't care about it. Or to pray for people whose lives seem so wretched. But let us not give up, because Jesus will display his immense patience and transform lives, just like how he did for Paul, just like how he did for Zacchaeus. This gospel is credible because it is not a fairy tale. It is credible because it is not an elite club membership or a right or privilege of that membership. To God, no one is hopeless. No one is too sinful, and no one is too horrible to receive the gospel. Having seen how the gospel is not only credible in its message, but also deeply personal in its impact because of the immense patience of Christ, how then should we respond as believers? If Jesus patiently pursued and saved even the worst of sinners, and if his gospel is both trustworthy and transformative, then we who have received this mercy, we are now entrusted with a mission. Our story doesn't end when we receive the gospel. The gospel is not meant to stop with us. It is meant to flow through us. This leads to my final point. The credibility of the gospel must be reflected in the credibility of the messenger, in how we live our lives, how we speak, and how we share the good news with others. Brothers and sisters, imagine today, now, you are a non-believer. Somebody comes along to share the gospel to you. How will you evaluate whether the gospel is credible or not? Remember our little exercise at the start of today? Definitely, you'll look at the content first. You'll look at the message. Okay, this message is about Jesus. Maybe you don't know much about Jesus yet at this stage. So, okay, next. Surely you will look at what it means to you personally. But at this stage, without having gone to church yet, without having experiencing the transformative power of Christ yet, it probably doesn't mean much to you yet. But lastly, and most critically, surely you will look at the one who was telling you about this gospel. Is this person a credible witness? Is there integrity in their lives? Does he or she have a known history of lies and false truths? Brothers and sisters, shall we search our heart? Shall we search our hearts and ask ourselves, am I a credible witness and messenger of the gospel? Does the credible gospel become not credible anymore because I spoke the gospel? Does the credible truth become no longer credible because of my life, because of the way I speak, and it becomes less credible when it's shared from my mouth? Or is my personal testimony able to bring up the credibility of the gospel? When you share the gospel, do you sound like you yourself don't even believe in the gospel itself? When you share the gospel, are you diminishing the credibility of the gospel? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul famously declared, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Yes, you first have to be unashamed of the gospel. Then you can share about it. You first have to believe in the credibility of Jesus and the credibility of the gospel. But I wonder, brothers and sisters, we may already believe in the credibility of the gospel. We may be unashamed about the gospel because we know it is credible. We know Jesus Christ is credible. But I wonder, sometimes we hesitate to share the gospel. Could it be because we are ashamed of our own lives? The things that we do, the things that we say. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, I would like to propose three takeaways today about the gospel. Firstly, brothers and sisters, the gospel is credible. Allow yourself, release yourself to believe in it truly because it's all in or nothing. If you don't believe in it, if you don't accept it, if it's just a truth, far away truth for you, it's meaningless. It has no bearing at all. Because the gospel is credible, you can allow yourself to believe in it fully. The truth is both objective and relational. The message of the gospel that Christ came into the world to save sinners like you and me is deserving of your full acceptance. Don't just agree with the gospel. Don't just admire the gospel from afar. Accept it fully. Secondly, if you do believe that it is credible and you have fully accepted it, then you need to share it actively and boldly. Do not be ashamed, do not be doubtful, do not be discouraged, because if God can save Paul, he can save anybody. Let us have more patience with one another. Let us have more patience with the people around us. Remember, the gospel is not meant to stop with us. It is meant to flow through us. Thirdly, live it out genuinely. Remember, you are the messenger of the gospel. Are you a credible witness? Are you a true ambassador for the message of Christ? Let your life reflect the mercy you have received. Be a credible witness to a credible gospel. In summary, the gospel is credible, so allow yourself to truly believe, accept and work on your own faith, and also work hard to allow others to truly believe by actively putting in a shift to spread the gospel. Brothers and sisters, in recent weeks, we have heard of many sermons about spreading the gospel. This is our topic for this period. Do you remember all the application points that were shared? I helped to summarize for the past four or five sermons, 6 points. 6 application points. Quite a lot, right? I wonder how many of us truly followed through on any point at all. Brothers and sisters, I stand here as a layperson like you and me, as a member of the congregation. I wonder, are we already immune to these words? Week after week, oh, spread the gospel, oh, Alpha, oh, 2X5Y. Are you no longer moved by this preaching? Or are you moved at the moment of hearing on a Sunday? But once Monday comes, it goes back to the back of your mind because, oh, work comes in, friends come in, social activities, everything comes buzzing, even ministry. Who still remembers the conviction that you received 2 months ago at the church camp? It was a conviction about the gospel as well. Brothers and sisters, we have a credible gospel. Do you truly believe in it? Do you genuinely allow yourself to believe in the credibility of the gospel? I would like to suggest that if you truly allow yourself to believe in the credibility of the gospel, then you will take seriously spreading the gospel. You will make sure that you are a credible messenger of the gospel. You will pray seriously for the salvation of the friends and family members around you. You will not just let life catch up with you on Mondays and forget completely what you heard on Sundays. Today, I do not have new application points for you. But shall we take one of these points here from the past few weeks and work on it this week? Let us pray. Father, as we come before you today, we thank you for this opportunity to have received your gospel. We praise you for the assurance that your gospel is indeed credible. And may your word illuminate us and give us the clarity and the conviction that we need to be encouraged to believe in the gospel fully and to show by sharing the gospel boldly and living out the gospel authentically as messengers of this credible gospel in our daily lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.